Again, I want to remind you that we will be observing the Lord's Supper and communion today. And Scripture always gives us the ample advice that we should prepare our hearts. And I hope that you'll be doing that and that you'll take time to pray and just consider where you stand before Him. And some churches do this every Sunday because they want to be reminded of what Christ has done. And also, He talks about the future. Not only we are here in what to remember what He's done, but also to look forward to the fact that He said He's coming back. And so we can look forward to that. And He says He's going to bless us and reward us. And so we have a lot of things to look forward to. But at this point, I'm going to ask if you have a Bible and if you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the theme of this particular chapter, what Paul penned to the people at Corinth, is giving them absolute 100% assurance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And talking about that's true, it's talking about He's coming back. It also talks about the judgment seat of Christ. It talks about being reconciled with Christ and about the benefits of being a Christian and following Him. So I'm going to pick a few verses as I go along. And that again is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 5, we have this promise. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And then look down a little bit farther to verse 17. This is one of Robin's favorite verses, but it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for giving us Your word today. And help us to give attention to Your words. The words that You've promised us, Your wonderful, marvelous Holy Spirit. Help us to give attention to this season of the year when people are busily hurrying around, making plans and preparations for Christmas. And sometimes, Lord, we get so wrapped up that we forget what's important. We don't recognize this is a recognition of the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So help us to remember that and hold that and let this, as last week we talked about having a Christmas to remember. And maybe this be the Christmas that we can remember when so well with fondness because someone's come to know Christ that we know. Somebody in our family trusts You. Somebody we've met has heard the gospel and they've turned their life over to You. So Father, help us to realize what truly does matter, and that's You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People have a tendency to be involved in their lives to try to make their life count, meaning that it matters, that it has value. And there's a lot of people who spend a lot of their time doing that. And they take different avenues to focus on. Some of them maybe get wrapped up in looking at their careers. And what's my career going to be like? And how can I afford myself and do better with that? And some people, well, not only careers, but they want to kind of have the perfect plan of how they can accumulate all the wealth they can get. Some people are focused on something that they're looking for that they may not get, but they would like to think they would. They might want to have a little bit of fame, you know, fame and fortune. Let everybody have a little bit of that and just let it go. But if you talk to some famous people, it's not cracked up to be what it's all to be. You know, some people, once they get famous, they get recognized, they don't have any peace. And some famous people and celebrities have said that. But yet, one of the things that people try desperately so hard in their life to attain is something which is pleasurable. Whether it's in a career, whether it's in fame, whether it's what you do, whether it's your calling, is you want in your life for things to be pleasurable. In fact, we have to give caution to what the Scripture says, because when He says things that will take place in the latter days, one tantamount change, is people will become pleasures, lover of pleasures, more than lovers of God. That pleasure takes the top plateau. And so we ask ourselves, what's it all about? What is this life? What is going to happen? Charles Thomas Studd was a missionary. He was a missionary in India, China. He came from England. He played cricket. He was famous in the sports world. But his father went to an evangelistic meeting. His father was extremely wealthy. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and along with that, he gave him a great deal of his pocketbook. And he wound up being interested in missions, and lo and behold, his son becomes a world-famous missionary. And he's been on all kinds of missionary societies, and he's out of England. He's done a lot of things. You may not even know or remember who he is, but I bet you remember one of his most famous poems, because he wrote a lot of books. And they're good. You got to read deep to get into them. But he wrote this poem I want to share with you. It's a little on the long side, but hold on. There's an end to it, and it helps us to focus on what's most important, and it's something that goes far greater than just our personal pleasures or our search for fame, fortune, money. So listen to what he said. This is from C.T. Studd. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. You ever heard that last part of that? You familiar with that? Only one life. In fact, back in the 70s, it became very popular. It was called The Solitary Life. There was a movie made about the solitary life. There were books written about it. There were tons of artwork, and you can go online and still today find artwork and plaques and all kinds of stuff, things you hung on your wall, put on the table, whatever, that have that phrase. And it says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. But he went on to say this. Only one yet, only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Again, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow, thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life, only one life. 'Twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done, that 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Do you agree with that? You think of all the accomplishments and all the accolades that you've had in life, and all the things you've enjoyed, plus all the burdens, the fears, the doubts, the misgivings, the mistakes, the sin. You lump that all together, and the only thing that has any validity for the future is what you've done for Christ. And how does that look on the scale for you? Is it you weighing the scale down and Christ is up in the air? Or do you think you have it balanced? Or do you have it where it belongs, where Christ gets it all? And everything that you do should be centered around that. People spend their time trying to make their lives count, when in reality, and actually, the only thing that counts is that which is eternal. And isn't it strange how we become nitpickers, how we become fruit inspectors, how we bitterly complain about things, economy, politics, and everything, and we forget that the only thing that's going to matter is what you've done for Jesus Christ. And in the scripture that I read this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:5, it tells us two things. One, it gives us the express promise and the guarantee that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And that's what Jesus said when he left after his resurrection. He was ascending into heaven. He told his followers, he says, there's one that's going to come after me. He's going to be the Comforter. And if you think about that triune part, the third part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, you put them together, the Holy Spirit is the one that comes and dwells within us. Since Christ left this earth, the Holy Spirit comes, and there's two things he does. If you look at the scripture, his job description calls for two things. One, he is to convict us of our sins. And we don't want to hear that, do we? We don't want anybody to come to us and tell us that something that we perceive or something we do or something we commit. We don't want nobody to get in our business and try and tell us that's sin. Am I right? Say amen. We don't want nobody to tell us we're wrong, but let me tell you what, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. And you're going to know it. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, guess what you're going to do? You're going to change. You're going to change your perspective. You're going to change your outlook. You're going to change everything. And he says, I'll give you this Spirit. I'll give you my Spirit. And what's going to take place is there's going to be a transformation process. I am going to change you to become more like, are you ready? Jesus Christ. More like Jesus Christ. Max Lucado once said, Jesus loves you so much, he's not going to leave you the same. Amen? He is expecting from us a change. And he gives us a promise and the guarantee that that process of transformation is going to come through us having a face-to-face encounter with God's wonderful Holy Spirit and through his Son and salvation of Jesus Christ. So here's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us, and the Holy Spirit comes to comfort us. That's his job description. He's to convict and he's to comfort. And that's why Jesus said he would come and be along, our paraclete, come alongside us in our life. And so each time when the Holy Spirit is fulfilling all that he's to do, guess what he does? He reminds us of Scripture. Has that ever happened? When you're thinking about something, all of a sudden the Word of God comes to your mind. Where'd that come from? Where'd that thought come from? There's this little voice that speaks to us like no other. And scriptures that you've read and poured over and studied and tried to understand, and those you do understand, every now and then the Holy Spirit will remind you of Scripture, because that's the word that will set us free. And what startles me when I look at statistics of churchgoers, that 90% of the people sitting in all the church pews this week will not pick up their Bible this week. 90%. So there's 10% of you who are picking up your Bible. We need to change those figures. Amen? I know you're thinking, well, we're different here at First Baptist. Every one of us picks our Bible up every day, by golly, and reads it. Well, you should. You don't have to brag about it. You just have to do it. Amen? And you know how some people are. Some people just fly by Bible readers. They fly by, they grab a Bible, they go, and they read it. And you know about the guy who got in trouble. He says, that's how I'm going to do my devotion. He popped the Bible open, he goes, boom. He says, Judas went out and hanged himself. I don't like that. He turned to Peter and says, thou go and do likewise. That's not how you do a devotion. That's not how you read the scripture. Amen? That's not how you do it. You fall in love with the Word of God and you can't live without it. You get up in the morning and the scripture, if you study these scriptures, the Holy Spirit will bring them back to mind. And oftentimes when he does that, it's because he's going to convict you of your sin. Now, I know you're not all ready to raise your hand, but if I were to ask you to do that, suggest you, all of those who are sinners, raise your hand. And some of you go, ooh, I don't know. Hey, just stick them both up there. We're sinners. The only difference is you're a saved sinner if you belong to Jesus Christ, but you, unfortunately, still sin. And the Holy Spirit will come to you. Hopefully, he doesn't have to come as often because you're doing everything you can to avoid that. But he reminds us of Scripture. He convicts us of sin. And there's a wonderful thing he will do for us. He will restrain us from selfish behavior. He will keep us from selfish behavior if we will let him. The book of James asked an interesting question. It says, why are there wars and fightings amongst yourselves? And the answer comes a few verses later when it simply says, because you don't get your way. You don't get your way. And sometimes we need God's Holy Spirit to come and restrain us from selfish behavior by saying, it's going to be my way, by God. It's going to be my way or the... See, you've been saying that for a long time, haven't you? Uh-huh. And you've been living the same way. You need to stop it. You need to quit it. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit so he can restrain and keep you from being selfish. And then there's a thing that God's Holy Spirit does that's absolutely amazing. And that's when he comes along and he prompts us to love. You hear that? He prompts us to love. When you see a homeless person, how do you feel about it? Don't answer. You're sad. Thankfully, you're not in that position. You know, some people get angry. Oh, if they'd go out and just get a job, or just do that, or blah, 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 and come out of it. It's a sad condition. We've had this condition since day one. Amen? Adam and Eve were homeless after they sinned. Amen? Got kicked out of the garden. They're looking for a place to live. And there's people in our society and all places of the world that are in those situations because the finances have been overbearing. Health issues have been a problem. Drug addictions have been a problem. Mental issues have been problems. But there comes a time when God will prompt you through his Holy Spirit to love somebody. It doesn't have to be somebody who's down and out or somebody who's homeless. It might be somebody in your family. Everybody's got a family member they can't stand. Amen? I fit the bill. Here comes Doug. He's going to tell us about Jesus. You know, here you go. Listen. Sometime, if you allow it, God will prompt you to love somebody. It may be that family member. It may be the hobo down the street. It may be your neighbor next door. But when his Spirit prompts you to love, pay attention and follow through. Because he's using you as a catalyst. He says you're supposed to have a strange behavior. You're supposed to be weird. You're supposed to be peculiar. You're supposed to stand out because you follow Jesus Christ. So he'll prompt you to love. And there'll be times when he will simply just experience his presence. And when you experience the Holy Spirit of God, let me take it will take your breath away. Amen? It'll change your thinking. It'll fill you with love and joy and abundance and peace and all those attributes he says he will give to us. But if we're not willing to submit ourselves to the Spirit, we won't know what his presence is all about. You see, God's Holy Spirit and his job, his description, and I know the thing about the Trinity, that's why in Sunday school we had a great time today because we talked about those things. Some things you don't understand, a Bible study helps. But God's Holy Spirit is in the process of changing us and overseeing our transformation process. I mentioned that twice already. That's the third time. He wants to transform us, and that's a process. As he convicts us and as he comforts us. So he's in that process. And later on in the scripture, in other places, it talks about sometimes in this human life, we have to deal with aches and pains and getting older. If you can relate, say amen. Not so sheepishly, say amen. You know, we deal with those things in our life. And sometimes people wind up with disabling or disabling limitations. And it's a sad situation. But here's what you have to do. You have to trust God in every aspect of your life. Because he's in the process of renovating your body and your spirit for the world to come. You realize that? He's getting you a body. In fact, we talked about that in Sunday school. You're going to have a body in heaven. All these people don't talk about a disembodied spirit. Listen, you read the Bible. See, if you're in that category of 90% people who don't pick up that Bible during the week, you don't know nothing. You're clueless. But he tells us that, and it's in his scripture, and he's preparing us for our future in his eternal kingdom. He says there's a reason that we suffer, because we learn from him. And then in the 17th verse, in the continuation of this promise and purpose of the Spirit, it says, really, when we pledge our faith to Christ, and that's a faith he gives, the faith is, according to the scripture, faith is a gift. You don't come up on your human condition. Faith is a gift that he blesses us, and it's an ever-increasing faith, and he gives it to us. But in this faith, when we pledge it to him, here's what he says. You will become a new person. We become new people. We become different. He says, this is what's going to happen because I'm going to make you new from the inside out. You already know this body's going to fail you. Amen? You already know all the money you're going to acquire and accumulate is going to fail you. You know that, don't you? But you also need to know this. God's Spirit will never let you down. God's Spirit will always convict you and always bring you comfort when you go through these times, because he's making you new from the inside out, making us prepared for the eternity. He gives us new life to where we are not the same people anymore. If you are not in that transformation process, that's the fourth time I mentioned it, something's wrong with your spiritual condition. If you are not changing for the better and only changing for the worse, maybe you need to come down this aisle and truly confess your sins and give your heart to Jesus Christ. God wants Christians to be joyful even in the worst of their situations. Did you know that? That's what he expects from us, because we're weird. We're peculiar. We're different. We're not like the rest of the world. We're changed because he makes us new people. We're not the same anymore. And I want to make it very clear that we are not reformed. We are not rehabilitated. We are not re-educated. We simply are and become recreated and made new. And he expects something from that transform and that change. Not just to sit around and talk about how great it is to be saved, how wonderful it is to be born again. You want to do that. But he wants you to be seriously involved with being a new creature and having a vital union with him and serving him. Literally, when we come to conversion and people come to make that change, it's not a matter of simply turning over a new leaf. It's a matter of beginning a new life that comes from God's Holy Spirit. And it's, we're not living up to our own desirable pleasures. But now we're living, answering, and serving the Master, the Creator of this universe. And if that doesn't change you, something's wrong. Old preacher, old country preacher said, if that don't ring your bell, you need to get your clapper fixed. If that's not ringing your bell, something's wrong. If you're not excited for Jesus Christ, something is wrong You're under new management. You're under a new master. As I said, today we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. But before we do that, we're going to have what we normally do, and you see in the bulletin, the next song we sing is Silent Night. Simple song about Christ, about Christmas, and it reminds us. And in singing of this song, we offer a public invitation. It might be that every one of you just simply need to come forward before this table, before we have supper, and confess all things to Christ. Bring all things to Christ before we observe this communion. So if you make ready and you'll turn to Silent Night, Holy Night in your hymn book, we'll sing that together. The altar's open to come and pray, come and talk to the pastor, whatever you need. But if you'd stand together, we'll sing. That is hymn number 89. Don't let me lose you here. Stay with the fact that you are in a transformation process. God's Holy Spirit wants to change you. And it may just start this very moment in a public affirmation. I'm not going to ask you to speak. I'm not going to ask you to come up here and do a jig or a dance or anything. I'm just going to ask you to make a decision today. I will follow Jesus. I will listen to His Spirit when He convicts me of my sin, when He comforts me, when He challenges me to make change. And so I'm going to start today. This very month, when we come to celebrate Christ, I'm going to give Him the best gift I can, and that's my very self. So do you need to recommit your life? Do you need to come and say, Lord, here I am? Hold your hands up to Him and say, I'm yours. Reign with the Holy Spirit in my life. And let this be a tremendous communion. But all the same, I know the truth of the matter, and problems behind most of what goes on, which is wrong, is called sin. And today, you might want to ask God to forgive you for something. Something you said, some way you treated somebody, what you've thought about God, your lack of reading the scriptures, whatever it is.